From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. After a review of more than 600 comments from the public, DNR Commissioner Tom Landwehr issued a permit to Lutzen Mountain Ski Hill to take water from the Poplar River for snowmaking, despite the stream's low water level. For many years, the ski hill has been drawing more water than its permit allowed. In an effort to rectify the situation, the state passed a new law raising the amount of water the company could draw from the river. However, that law also requires the ski hill to quit pumping when water levels fall below 15 cubic feet per second for more than five straight days. But a separate law cited by the DNR allows for exemptions with just cause. In this case, the DNR said the potential economic impacts to the region are significant enough to merit an exception. DNR Commissioner Landwehr says a long-term solution needs to be found and that relying on the Poplar River for snowmaking is not a sustainable source for the ski area. He says Lutzen and legislators need to commit themselves to finding an alternative, probably Lake Superior. In a statement thanking the DNR on behalf of Lutzen Mountain Corporation, company executive Charles Skinner said the company is, quote, currently working aggressively on a financing plan, including public and private funding for a pipeline from Lake Superior as our primary snowmaking source. Lutzen estimates it would cost more than $3 million to install a pipeline to Lake Superior that would meet its needs. Claiming the cost of a renovated municipal pool would be far less than originally thought, a group of citizens led by Hal Greenwood brought their information to the city and county this week. In 2005, Burbach Aquatics quoted the city of Grand Marais a span of prices to either renovate the existing pool or build a new one. Those figures ranged from $2 million to $6 million, with lifespans from 10 to 50 years. The current new community center architects expect a pool built in that proposed complex would run $6.5 million. Greenwood's estimates were far lower. County Commissioner Bruce Martinson.
Hal Greenwood took the initiative to seek quotes from a company called Aqualogic, and he presented a package to each of the commissioners stating that the cost for just improving the existing pool, including putting in new doors, windows, refinishing, redoing the interior of the pool, would be $447,793.
Greenwood said he was not against a community center, but he questioned the wisdom of such a large project at this time.
What we're proposing is not building something. We're proposing a maintenance proposal to bring it up to where it should have been. That's what this is all about. Pools are very expensive to operate. A big building like that, over 40,000 square feet with a pool in it, is in these economic times, in my opinion, is not right. We got the hospital, we need that. We got a school, we need that. Can we afford another layer of possible operating deficits onto the county? I don't think we can. There's no doubt we could get the money from the 1% sales tax to do it, but what happens after that? That's what my concern is.
Commissioner Sue Hakes is in the unique position of having been mayor of Grand Marais and currently chairs the county's Community Center Task Force.
I think the proposal that Mr. Greenwood brought forward was interesting, but it was very limited in scope. It did not address a lot of the physical issues that currently exist at the Grand Marais swimming pool, nor did it address any of the contractual or legal issues that the city has right now. The proposal is for a very short-term fix. And the thing that I find frustrating about that is that with the 1% sales tax funds, we have an opportunity to do something that's really good for the people who live here on a long-term basis. And it's an opportunity to do something that we could never otherwise afford. And the county board has identified a swimming pool as being an important part of that. And the community has identified a swimming pool as being an important part of that. So I would like to keep working to that end.
In the meantime, little progress has been made between attorneys representing the city, county, and Burbach Aquatics. Burbach maintains that any work involving Grand Marais and a swimming pool designed by someone other than Burbach would violate a contract they claim is still in effect. The city and the county maintain that position is holding the county and its community center hostage and is against the public interest. Burbach Aquatics is asking $300,000 to settle the contract. The city and county attorneys reject that but want to continue negotiations. City Attorney Chris Hood has asked Burbach to respond to a meeting by no later than Monday the 14th. Otherwise, the city would consider it a rejection to further negotiate, leaving them in a position to explore other options to resolve the dispute. One week after hosting a job summit focused on strengthening Minnesota's infrastructure, Governor Mark Dayton has appointed 15 members to a governor's task force on broadband. Among the 15 statewide members is Dana McKenzie, Cook County's Director of Information Systems. The task force will be charged with developing policies to promote the expansion of broadband access in Minnesota. Dayton's stated goal is border-to-border high-speed internet and cell phone access throughout Minnesota. According to the governor, the task force will develop an action plan for identifying and correcting disparities in access and adoption of broadband in all Minnesota communities, urban, rural, and suburban. Dayton says that action plan will help ensure that residential homes, schools, hospitals, and businesses have access to the technology and information resources they need to thrive in a global economy. McKenzie said she was excited about the opportunities her appointment can bring to Cook County. According to the governor, task force members were chosen to represent a balance of broadband interests, including consumers, business and residential users, educational and healthcare institutions, traditional telephone and cable companies, wireless providers, as well as metro and rural local units of government. The Minnesota Department of Commerce, which houses the state's broadband development office, will work closely with the task force. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.